sweet.
Make sure I don't. Okay. So we'll just hang out for a sec.
Ah, there we go. Okay. So, there is a thing that, let's go to the next one here. We're talking about the seven bandits today. We'll explain that in a minute. There was something that the Lord wanted me to talk about up here a while ago, and I chickened out. I'm going to try to give the right version, not put in too many or too little details. When I was small, the devil, when I was 4 or 5 years old, and the next 5 minutes won't be very PG, so if you're watching over there, you might want to, you know, watch that after your kids are in bed or something. But the devil went on a campaign to get rid of certain folks that he thought would be a problem. And when I was 4 or 5 years old, that weapon found me, and I lost my memories from that day. When my memories start to return, I'm playing a game called RBI Baseball for Nintendo. I have a funny feeling in my head I don't understand on account of the brain damage. My hands, my legs, they feel like they're doing things I might kind of like them to do, but it feels like I'm kind of not making them do them. Also on account of the brain damage. my stomach felt like there was a fire in it. When I would burp, there were chemical burns that were happening in my throat. Shortly after that, the happy, healthy, good-looking kid got replaced by his evil twin with a ton of bizarre health issues. My immune system was compromised. My nervous system was compromised. My digestive system was compromised. My endocrine system was compromised. That's the glands and the hormones, the endocrine system. My health situation as a child was extremely, extremely bizarre. Later on in life, I did something that also the devil sent an army to try and stop me from doing. I fasted. And I got to have a little bit of health for a while. It was rather good for a while. It was enough to get through Army basic training and AIT. Then, later on, in my 30s, those health problems started returning. I want to say it was in my 20s. And this was due to the brain damage. I was sitting in my car, and an emotion came up that I was unfamiliar with, and I spent a few minutes puzzling over it. We'll keep this part rated G. It felt kind of like the feelings that I had when I did certain things I shouldn't do, but it felt better than that, and I couldn't figure it out, and then it came to me. This was the feeling of happiness. I felt happy. I was in my late 20s, and I could not remember the last time I felt that. And over these past few months, the Lord has given me a doctrine that was very offensive to me, and it's going to be very offensive to you, and that's why I tell you all of that. It's because you need to know that I'm not a good timer tap dancing up here and talking down on you in your time of trouble. When I see people who are suffering, I see kindred spirits, because I am very familiar with that. And over these past few months, this offensive doctrine that the Lord has given me, I've been walking in it, and I've been seeing health conditions pop off of my body at seemingly almost random times. Things that I thought were too heavy to try and lift off or deal with, I would be driving in my car, and they would suddenly just shoot out of my body like a iron ball out of a cannon, and I don't even remember what I was saying when it happened. It has been very amazing, very interesting, and The puzzle of my childhood is clearing up, and my body is getting better. And so I tell you all of this so that you won't be offended by me and miss the message. Because if you don't, you will walk out of here with the tools that you need to have all of the health that you want. And let's see if I missed anything. Okay, so I was puzzling a little while ago about why, you know, in the book of Proverbs, 18:21, it teaches us death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I was puzzling over this. I was like, how come there are so many people who seem to be on rides that they don't want to be on if death and life are in their tongue? And the Lord showed me two types of cursed people. There is one who has two piles of curses and another who has one pile of curses. The one who has two piles of curses is almost always healed before the one with one pile of curses. There's our first offensive thing for the day. I was pretty offended by that. And the person with two piles, they have things that have snuck into their hearts that are allowing words to come off of their tongue that are feeding disease and unwholeness in the body. And they also have a separate set of curses, which are things that they directly say over their bodies that are not truthful. Many times these people will see no inward change in what the book of Psalms calls the inward parts, the inner hidden corners of the soul. They'll see no real change there, but they will correct what they say about their bodies, and a little while later, their health will drastically improve. Because they've gone from two piles of curses to one. The person with just starting out with just the one pile of curses, they are the ones who oftentimes are along for the ride they don't want to be on. They get prayed for in faith many, many times, and the curse remains. And they end up thinking that they have an extra big curse or problem on their life. We are able to get this understanding because of offensive thing number two. We have allowed our understanding about curses to become divorced from the kingdom understanding. In the religious understanding, we are slightly different, slightly spiritually different proselytes trying to avoid a fly swatter for doing things that are bad. In the kingdom understanding, let me see if I actually pulled this up. Okay. In the book of Revelation, it teaches us that we have been made kings and priests. Hallelujah. A king is a head of state, and the life of a head of state is very difficult and unfair. There is offensive thing number three. If you want to be a saved person, you have to be a king, and that person's life is not fair or easy. And for a king, the small things can be the most dangerous. One day, let's say President Eisenhower, let's not talk about the future and claim things over that, but let's say a past president, you know, President Eisenhower, one week he makes a flub up with his words, and for a few days, comedians make fun of him and people hold signs, and then after that, it's over, not a big deal. And then the next week, he makes the same flub up with his words, but it's about a different topic. And everybody in a large company gets shut down, or a large organization, and thousands of families lose their income. Same mistake, different outcome. Same mistake, harsher consequences. A president could even make a flub up with their words and embolden a foreign leader to do something they wouldn't have otherwise done, and people could literally die. And all three outcomes could be from the same innocent little mistake. That is the life of a head of state. That is the life of a king, which we are, who have received Jesus Christ. Now, I also have to preface here that the Bible teaches us, and we can look it up if anyone needs the quote or anything. The Bible teaches us that Moses was 120 years old when he died, and that his eye was not dim, and that his natural force was not abated. His eye not being dim means, of course, his eyes were healthy. It also means that his nervous system and his cognition were healthy. His natural force, his physical strength, was not abated. That happened during the time of an inferior covenant when less was available to man. The book of Hebrews teaches us that the new covenant that we are in with Jesus Christ, who have received him, the new covenant is established upon better promises. If someone died today exactly at the same age as Moses, with exactly the same level of health, which it appears is better than just about anyone in the world today, if they died exactly like that today, they would have gotten a little closer than some to demonstrating what is available in New Covenant. So, if you are along in years, you are not forbidden from hearing this message. It definitely applies to you too. Okay, let's go to the next one. Now, this is an AI-generated image. I told it to give me seven bandits. there's a man named Dr. Henry W. Wright, who wasn't the greatest at expressing himself. He had a very peculiar mind that kind of dodged around. I wouldn't go to him for central theology points, but God gave him a gift for seeing in scientific literature the relations between diseases in that scientific literature and spiritual problems talked about in the Bible. And he started to notice, he was medically trained, he went to medical school, he started to notice that there were actually relations being drawn in that scientific literature to spiritual issues. And these, much of what we're going to be talking about is from his work, and these seven bandits are basically responsible for 100% of unwholeness in human bodies. They are responsible for basically 100% of it. And the AI generated an eighth bandit in the back. You can see his hat. That ended up turning out really good because there is one that is sneakier than them all and responsible for more loss of breakthrough than them all. And we're going to be talking about that one last. Let's go to the next one here. Did you guys all see those? Can we go back? I'm sorry. Self-unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, rage, self-hatred, fear, and self-rejection. Okay, so now let's go to... Now, rage and anger... one thing that's been popping up really hardcore these past few years is strokes. Strokes have been popping up around, well, they did pop up around America everywhere for a while. So rage and anger, could be towards yourself or others, are largely responsible in the ministry, the very successful ministry of Dr. Henry W. Wright. A lot of people got healed in his ministry. According to him, they are responsible for strokes, aneurysms, which is swelled or bursting blood vessels, varicose veins, prostate cancer, hemorrhoids, and probably much more. Let's go on to the next one. We might whip through this part kind of fast. Self-rejection, self-unforgiveness, and self-hatred are largely responsible for arthritis, multiple chemical sensitivity. Those are the people who sometimes they end up kind of locked away in a room and they can't have this type of sheet, it has to be that type of sheet, and they can't eat anything and they can't do anything, they can't be near cell towers. That's multiple chemical sensitivity. Autoimmune disease, lupus, diabetes, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis. They are hugely responsible, and bitterness is often seen with them, bitterness towards the self. But also towards other people. Bitterness is responsible for all kinds of cancer, particularly colon cancer. There's going to be offensive thing number four. Dr. Henry W. Wright, his mom, the devil was trying to kill her off before she had him, and she had a cancer cluster choking an important blood vessel nearby her brain. And she one day prayed a repentance prayer. She repented of bitterness and she made a promise as to how he would be raised. The cancer disappeared, and she had him. And he later on in life had this powerful ministry. He never got great at expressing himself too well, but he had a very powerful ministry. Like I said, if you're going to look him up, I wouldn't get your central theology from him. I don't know how good he was at expressing himself all the time. But later on in his life, a woman came to him for prayer who had cancer, and she'd been prayed for multiple times. She was one of the single pile of curses people. She repented of bitterness and got prayed for one more time, and this time the cancer left. So he also mentioned in his work, I'll say here, that it tends to be that bitterness towards others is malignant cancer, and bitterness towards the self are non-malignant tumors. So let's go on to the next one. Fear is a humongous one, as you can see, and that's not surprising. It's often seen, you know, with anxiety and stress. They are kind of like cousins of fear. In Dr. Wright's work, which saw a ton of people healed, he found that fear is responsible for also multiple chemical sensitivity, food allergies, high blood pressure, hypertension, various forms of heart disease, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, ulcerative colitis, acid reflux, and GERD. Those have to do with diseases of the esophagus, I want to say. Is that right, Pat? Is it like the esophagus? Is that acid reflux and GERD? Leaky gut, malabsorption, migraines and headaches, insomnia, diabetes, weight issues, generalized anxiety disorder, panic attacks, depression, PTSD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and the kitchen sink. It is very, very responsible for a lot of things. Let's see, I might have lost my place a little. Now, in terms of the king missing the small thing and it becoming a big, terrible thing, it can kind of look like this. I had a lot of bitterness throughout my life. It was one of the main problems that I had. And there came a time in my life when I was walking with the Lord and I was keeping bitterness shut up to a good extent, and I thought that was good enough. And I would look at people that I thought were doing very poorly, and I would see that they were healthier and happier than I was, and I would be offended by that. And shouldn't have been, but I was. And one night, because I had not been getting alone with God and really working on getting rid of it instead of just shutting it up, the Lord one night got through to me about bitterness and got my heart to the point where I was actually willing to let it go and not just keep it shut up anymore. And I was standing in my kitchen, and I prayed a prayer of repentance, and I was really willing to let bitterness go this time. And within a few seconds of concluding that prayer, I felt a pulling pain on the back of my head, and another one underneath my right shoulder blade, and another one in the small of my back, or lower back, leftish side. The next morning, I woke up feeling better than I had in months. And I had been, there's a part in the Bible, let's see if I have it. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. There was prosperity of soul when the Lord finally got through to me, and I finally did it. And there was an immediate prosperity of physical health as well. It wasn't hours or years, it was momentary. And I had been, you know, taking all these supplements because I'd been worried about my health and blood pressure and such. Pressure in my head that I was worried about. I'd been getting all this expensive supplements and, you know, expensive bread and all this stuff. And this did what none of those things did. Let's go to the next one here. So I guess I should say that was the case of the problem being caused not by the great size of the curse, but the incredible tininess of it. It was very easy to miss, and it was missed. And it was catastrophic. It was the wrong one to miss. Now, our mysterious eighth bandit that the AI created, we see the top of his head in the back there, is doubt. And doubt, though these other things we discussed are important, doubt is far and away the biggest thief of breakthrough. There are a lot of people who have imperfections, but they don't have fear and doubt, and they're healthier in most cases. You could get the attitude of going through these things we just talked about, saying, I need to find something, and in most cases, you're going to be wrong. In most cases, your problem is just doubt. And the way we discern doubt is that doubt comes without any specifics. You'll be on your way to a breakthrough. You'll be standing in the Word. You're saying, my body is healed. Jesus Christ paid for that. You're saying all the things that are truthful about your body. And then all of a sudden, a voice comes in and says, well, maybe not, Lincoln. You know, there's no specific problem that's brought up. There's no substance to it at all. It's just a feeling of maybe. Maybe I ought to quit walking this way and go search over there a little bit. Or maybe I ought to try looking over here. That's doubt. Yeah. If you are on your way to a breakthrough, if you are standing in truth where the Father wants you to stand and you are walking in the direction that He wants you to walk, which is to see the reality of that truth, He will put the things that you need in front of you, and they will have substance. If you have an issue with bitterness, you won't have to maybe, you know, and go look under a rock. If that's the problem, the Father will put it right here. You will deal with it, and then you will keep walking forward. So if you hear a substanceless maybe, don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Doubt specializes in preventing people who have legal rights from seeing the breakthrough they have legal rights to, which, when you think about it, is quite dangerous. And it's a good idea not to cooperate with it. It's not taking you anywhere nice. And, you know, Keith and Debbie know that I have my history with that. They spent late nights, you know, patiently working with me when I refused to quit doing that. Like, what about this? What about this? What about this? You know. Doubt is far and away more responsible for lost breakthrough than any of the other things we've discussed today. So let's go on to the next one. Okay, first one we already talked about. The second one we'll hash back over. When stubborn curses, when they keep on, we might end really early. stubborn curses, when they hang on and on and on and on and on, we tend to get the idea that we are more cursed. But a statesman, or a head of state, I should say, doesn't need a big problem to have a catastrophic result. If your curse has been hanging on and on and on, you've probably been looking for the big thing, and you need to be looking for small ones. I had a situation a little while ago. Some people here have heard this story. I was driving in my car, and as I was driving and I was meditating in the Word, and I was kind of trying to get rid of some bad things in my life, bitterness and hatred and stuff. As I was meditating in the Word in my car, a dizzy spell came on me, which I had been experiencing. But this time it didn't reach my head. It was stuck in my neck area, but it was the exact same feeling. It also kind of branched up a little bit towards my ears. At that time, there started to be an incredible yanking, wrenching, just incredible, forceful yanking in my stomach area. Fear tried to grip me, and the Lord had trained me good, so I said, nope, we're not doing the fear thing. Instantly, both issues had disappeared. Later on in that day, I noticed that there was something gone from my stomach that I'd been experiencing. It felt like a second heartbeat or a second pulse, which I don't know what it was, but none of the medical stuff I've looked at says that that's a very good thing. Later that day, I noticed that that feeling in my stomach was gone. And I don't even remember what I was meditating on when it happened. The Lord just yanked it off. So I also, you know, I don't want to bore people, but I do want to just let folks know, I want to show you that when there is prosperity of soul, there is prosperity in health as well. The Lord worked with me on something that had to do with bitterness and rage and anger. And, well, really it has to do with a few things. And it was in the most unexpected place. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, it's the very final verse. It says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." First we'll talk about this. When we are engaged in bitterness and anger, we are trying to stop created things from getting away. Now, and the reality is that none of us get away. There are things that are missing from my eternity, which I will spend with God, of course, and it will, of course, be wonderful. Nobody's going to be sad there, of course. But there are things that are missing from my eternity forever because of the things that I've done. We think that the Father, because He is so not tyrannical, we have gotten the misconception that there is such a thing as getting away. And there isn't. We don't get away, and that person who did that horrible thing to you, they didn't get away either. Like David brought a baby into the world that was precious to him, and it died no matter what he did, they will experience loss now. And when we sin, we are in the same boat. Thankfully, the Father is so not tyrannical that those who receive Jesus Christ get to have an awesome eternity anyway. But the idea that people get away, the idea that you got away so you should be bitter towards yourself, they got away so you should be angry towards them, all of it is wasted energy. They didn't get away. And just imagine, if a person were to abide in that and they were to come to the point where they know the truth on that matter, imagine how much more quickly your mind would work if your brain cells and your CPU and your memory and your RAM were not being dedicated to making people do something that the Father already guarantees they will do, which is pay, as we all have paid for things that we have done in this room. Imagine how much more quickly your mind will remember things and you'll think it's 15 years ago because it's being tasked for the things that you actually can solve. And the Father also worked with me on fear. And he worked with me on that here in this verse also. I didn't have to worry about anybody getting away with anything anymore. And as that fear started to lift, my lungs immediately began expelling something. And we won't go into all the gritty details of that, but that's been going on for about a week. My vocal cords have been detoxing also. Last week, people who heard me, you know, I might have sounded a little bit like James Earl Jones, you know, a little different than usual. Don't know what I'll sound like when it's done, when whatever this is done clearing out. We'll find out, I suppose. But over and over and over again these past few months, when there has been prosperity of soul, there has been prosperity in physical health. And it has been momentary. That night, when the Lord started working with me on fear in this verse, right there in the car, my lungs started expelling stuff. It was momentary. Now, if you are one of the one pile of curses people, and you have been trying to get rid of a curse in your life, and it just does not lift and does not lift and does not lift. One, you almost certainly are in the one group of curses category, almost certainly. You probably are saying the right things about your body. But these seven bandits got in the way. The other thing that the Lord showed me was about the two groups of people, the single pile of curses people and the double pile of curses people, is going to be offensive thing number five. In both cases, what ails their body came off of their own tongue. At some point or another, they spoke it out. And these seven, which, as we said, are not an excuse to get into fear and doubt, and are usually not responsible for these things. These seven, well, they are usually in the case of the one pile people. But, I lost my place here. One sec. Let's see here. Okay. So, when those stubborn curses stay, we can end up confused. But the day you became saved, the Father sat you down in a throne, and you never left that throne. Death and life really are in your tongue, and you really are a head of state, someone whose decrees, whose words matter. That never stopped happening. And can we go back to the page that had the seven of them? What stymied you almost 100% are these names. A one pile of curses person can have self-rejection, self-hatred, etc. And what they do is they take up residence in the heart and they allow for words to come off of the tongue. They allow for legal rights to sneak out that we did not expect. Now, can we go back to the last page again? Okay. So, you never came off your throne. And the throne of someone who has received Jesus Christ, someone who is now a king and a priest, that throne is a unique makeup, a unique person, someone who has never been made before and never will be made again. You are unique, and there is an expression of God that only your life can demonstrate to the world. There is a throne that you sit on, and a crown that you wear, and a scepter that you hold that no one else can or ever will. That is your throne, and you are to rule from that throne. And so now we're going to talk about you know, what does the person do who wants to have access to this that we've talked about? What that person does is they thoroughly read and they meditate in the Word of God. They speak it out. They meditate in it. If the kingdom of God was a pump, like one of those wells that has the pump at the top, meditating in the Word of God, thoroughly reading it, speaking it out loud, that is the pump. And the more you do that, the more blessings come out. If it becomes a lifestyle, you will see immense things and a lot of them. The problem is in the heart. And this, after spending my childhood as a prisoner of war to the devil, bizarre health conditions, watching all of these crazy things happen, this was very offensive to me. But over the past few months, I have found out that it is true and it is available. Health is available. And as a person meditates in the Word of God and thoroughly reads it, truth gets into what the Book of Psalms calls the inward parts, the hidden corners, the closed off places of the soul. It gets in there. And in that part it says, in Psalms 51 verse 6, it says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." As we meditate in and thoroughly read the Word of God, truth gets into those inward parts, and it evicts the lies that are in there. And as we continue, our hearts become more like the Word's author. And out of the abundance of God's heart, your mouth will speak new things that will revoke the legal rights of what has been hurting you, that will end the things that sought to end you, and in your mouth will issue the beginning of what God intended. It is inevitable for the person who thoroughly reads and meditates in the Word of God. And one day, if you do this, that devil that has harassed you for so long will wait in a desperate hope, as they always do, though they would never tell you, for its legal right to be renewed in your words. And on that day, your mouth will close, and its legal rights will not be found there. And it will suddenly be made to feel as it made you to feel. It will feel cold and alone and helpless and defenseless. And it will look up, and it will see the face of a violent and warlike king named Jesus Christ, who came here in the flesh and leveled its kingdom 2,000 years ago. And on that day, he will have plenty of anger saved up in his business hand, and he will let it all out. And it will not be you getting your butt kicked around anymore. Keith and Debbie know, as we talked about earlier, that my mind, if I allow it, can generate doubt and fear and reservation faster than the speed of light. And they... Oh, okay.
We call it off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Calm to the storm. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Let's see here. There was something else that we were going to talk about. Let's see. One sec here. So. So my mind can do doubt. It can do reservation. And Keith and Debbie missed out on a lot of personal time talking to me late at night while I refused to quit doing that. But this thing that we talked about here today, this is an occurrence. And it is spiritual law. The testimony that God has done before, God will do again for you, and we are obligated as Christians to believe that. And if you will meditate in and thoroughly read the Word of God, it is inevitable. You will win. I can stand before you and the world here today, usually full of doubt and reservation. I don't have a hint of doubt or reservation in me. Hallelujah. As I say, you will win. Amen. If you do this, you will win. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. It is spiritual law, and it is an occurrence. And I'm just going to read one last thing, and then we'll get folks out of here. Let's see here. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. When there is a testimony, it becomes spiritual law. When the disciples did not believe the testimony in the boat, they got a rebuke from Jesus. This thing that has happened is testimony, and it is spiritual law. So my hope is that you will try this out. I would really like to see the smiling looks on your faces when a disease popped out of your car and you had no idea it was gonna happen. I would really like to see your smiling faces, and I hope that you will do this. My health is so much better than I thought possible even 3 months ago. And it is available to every single one of you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this time today and for the short message that lines up nicely with the weather. And Father, let us show the world the God of results. You have been caged up too long by our will, and that is something that we can remedy here and now, and that has been remedied in many ways already. And Father, guide us and keep us this week, and return us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lincoln, I personally thank you for your message today, because it speaks so many, many volumes to all of us. It's like a opening of our eyes. I thank you for sharing.